If you are pregnant or you've recently had a baby, this podcast is for you. I am your host, Kath Bequee, a physiotherapist working in women's health and mum of three. Join me each week as we dive into all things pregnancy care, childbirth and postnatal recovery, helping you have a wonderful pregnancy and afterbirth experience. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss any episodes.
Welcome to this episode of the Fitness Mama Podcast. Are you pregnant and you're wondering what calm birthing is all about? Or perhaps you've heard it mentioned a few times, but you're not quite sure if it's for you. If so, listen up, because today I'm talking to the lovely Loretta, a midwife based in Ballarat, mum of two little girls, calm birth and postpartum educator, and acu-needling midwife. Loretta is passionate about helping all women to have a birth and postpartum experience that empowers them for the rest of their life, however that birth experience looks for them. And today we discuss five myths or things that perhaps you didn't know about calm birth. We chat about the fact that calm birth isn't just for those wanting a natural birth, and that it's not just for first-time parents. We also talk about the fact that calm birthing isn't just some relaxation techniques, which is what I thought it was a few years ago. We discuss the important role of the partner or support person. And we also talk about some fascinating things about hormones of labor and birth that you might not know about, and so much more. So get ready for this episode. But before we do jump in, I just want to let you know about the 7-day free trial that's available for Fitness Mama. In this 7-day trial, you'll be able to try one of our weekly live Pilates classes, do as many on-demand classes as you'd like, binge listen to guest expert speakers discussing topics including hypnobirthing, induction, mindset, and more. And there are also heaps of Q&A sessions with myself on all sorts of topics such as abdominal muscle separation, pregnancy-related pelvic pain, cesarean scar massage, mastitis, and more. All you need to do is head to www.fitnestmama.com/free. That's fitnestmama.com/free. Right, let's get into the show. Thank you for joining me today, Loretta.
Thanks so much for having me, Kev. It's so lovely to be here.
Oh, it's great. So today we are going to discuss calm birth, which I'm totally excited about. Calm birthing, it's something that I heard about briefly during my first pregnancy, but I have to confess, this was 7 years ago. I don't think I understood it very well at the time, and I think I was a bit of a skeptic, to be quite honest. But over the years, I've learned more, and after having more babies, I have become to realize there's so many benefits. So thank you so much for coming on the show today to shed some light on this topic. So for those who don't know you, could you please introduce yourself and let us know what drew you to calm birthing?
Yes, well, thank you, Kath. I think you're not alone in, you know, having some misconceptions about calm birth. So hopefully we'll help with those. But yeah, I'm Loretta and I have two little girls and I live in Ballarat with my husband, and I'm a midwife and a calm birth educator. And I've also added acu-needling to my repertoire, I suppose you could say. And when it comes to what drew me to calm birth, I suppose it was really during my first pregnancy, when I went and did a calm birth course myself, when I was preparing for my labour and birth, because I think being a midwife, even though I understood the process and, you know, maybe the science and that side of things, I think there's only so much that you can cover in a midwifery degree. And so we don't always learn that holistic part of midwifery and, you know, how to work with pain and that whole mind-body connection side of things. So I remember when we went down to Geelong to do the course, it was maybe an hour into the course, and then I turned to my husband and I was like, oh, I have to teach this. This is amazing, you know, from the very start. And I just absolutely loved it. And we loved having that time together just to focus on the birth of our baby, because, you know, life gets busy and you don't often get time to think about how you want it to look and what's important to you. And so it was lovely to take that time. And even though he wasn't maybe as excited as I was to go, which is the case for a lot of partners, once he did it, he actually was really looking forward to it, because he felt like he had more skills that he could help support me with. And he had even more of an understanding than he already had, even though he was part midwife himself. So,
yeah. So that's just amazing, Loretta, because if you're already a midwife, so you've already got so many tools and so much knowledge about childbirth, for you then to go to a calm birthing course and still gain so much insight, that's really interesting. I'd like to know, what are the 5 myths or things that you didn't know, that most people don't know about calm birth? Because I know, I think I can probably say a few off the top of my head, because they were ones that totally put me off calm birthing. So can I start with
please.
One? I don't know if this is on your list of 5. So is calm birthing only if you want a natural birth? Because that's what I thought 7 years ago, and that's what put me off, because I thought, oh, you can't have pain relief if you do a calm birth.
Yes. Oh, I think you're not alone, Kath. That is, and I think that's such a big one when it comes to misconceptions. And I think sometimes it's also, you know, the name calm birth, that maybe we're about a certain type of birth, or that we think of, you know, a natural vaginal birth as the ideal birth, and that you can't use pain relief, or even perhaps that you have to birth, you know, quietly in a meditative state or something like that. But it's so far from the truth. And yeah, I think that's a really great one to clear up, because, you know, it's not about telling you how to birth or what type of birth you should have, because a positive birth looks really different to every woman. You know, for some women, that might be having an epidural, it might be having a cesarean, it might be having, you know, no medication. So it's so different. And I think, yeah, we really want to clear that up, because most of us who teach calm birth are midwives and experienced birth workers. And I think we're very realistic that often there is such a place for, you know, intervention and sometimes medications, and we're lucky that we have access to those things. So I wouldn't want to teach something that I didn't feel was realistic and helpful for, you know, all women, that they can use in any scenario. And I think that's the real beauty of calm birth, that everything we teach, you know, all of the knowledge and all of the tools that we teach are ones that can be applied to every birth scenario, whether you're having a natural home birth, whether you're being induced, or even with a cesarean birth. So we have a whole section dedicated to what we call preparation for other possibilities. And we go through all of that. So all of your pain relief options and all of the ways you can work with each of those scenarios, and give you a myriad of tools so that you can, you know, try them all out, because you never know what you'll actually need on the day. So I think the more tools you have, the better. And yeah, I think I love that saying that birth is unpredictable, but it's not unpreparable. So you might not know how it will play out, you know, because sometimes things pop up that were unexpected, and you might need certain interventions that you hadn't hoped you wouldn't have, or that you hadn't planned for. But doing calm birth helps you have the knowledge about all of those scenarios, so that if that does happen, you can feel informed and hopefully feel more calm about it and make those informed decisions, and then also have those tools to work with whatever happens, because you might not be able to control what happens physically, but you can control the attitude that you bring to it.
So if you did choose an epidural, or you did have to have an emergency cesarean, how could calm birthing be useful?
Yeah, then? So there's lots of things that we talk about during the class. So for example, with an epidural, we look at, you know, what impacts that might have on your labour, so that, again, that's awesome if you decide that that's right for you, but making sure that you've got all of the knowledge so that you understand what implications that might have. So for example, sometimes when women have an epidural, and again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have one, because I've seen great births with epidurals, and it can really make a woman relax, and it can be helpful in certain medical situations too, if women have high blood pressure and that sort of thing. But what it can do physiologically is it reduces your own oxytocin, and we need oxytocin for those. It's the main driver of our contractions. So when that stops, it can mean that you're more likely to need the synthetic form of oxytocin, so that syntocin and drip that's put in through an IV. And there are implications that come with that. So you just want to be aware of all of those things. But there's still so much you can do to work with it. So from our perspective, I would talk about, you know, maximizing your body's own oxytocin through beautiful things like, you know, touch. Anything that's going to get that oxytocin flowing will help with your epidural. And even things like positioning and body work when you've got an epidural. So making sure that you can still use what we call active birth positions when you're lying down. So often you're restricted to the bed, but side lying, for example, is still going to allow your pelvis to open up, and as opposed to being on your back where your sacrum is closed off and not able to move as the baby moves down the pelvis. So making sure you're changing positions, maybe changing your leg positions and creating space in the pelvis. So yeah, it's sort of the knowledge and also some things that you can do to help still maximize your hormones and your labor progress while having that epidural. And also afterwards with an epidural, so rebuilding those oxytocin receptors after you've had your baby by doing things like skin to skin and having, you know, that early breastfeed and all those beautiful oxytocin inducing activities.
So what's oxytocin important
for? Yeah, so it's a really important one. So our oxytocin is our hormone of, you know, love and calm and bonding, and it has lots of important roles during labor. So it's the main driver of our contractions, but it also has implications for after we've had our babies. So for helping the uterus to contract after we've had our babies so that we can reduce the risk of bleeding and postpartum hemorrhage and that sort of thing. And also in the initiation of breastfeeding and switching on those maternal bonding behaviours. So, and not just for the mum, actually for the dad too. So, you know, just having 30 minutes of skin to skin with the dad after the, or dad, sorry, I should say, or partner after birth can really help with those bonding behaviours. It's a really good drug, Kath. We want lots of oxytocin. And that's why they say, you know, babies should be born in a similar environment to the one that they're actually made in. And it makes sense because we're mammals, and yeah, oxytocin is so important for us to feel safe and calm, and we want to maximize that during labor and after.
And is it true, I'm not too great with my hormone knowledge during labor, childbirth, but is it true that when you go into that fight or flight response, so that if you get bit panicked or something, is it true that that inhibits?
Definitely. And that's a really important one, and one that we cover a lot in depth during the course. Yeah, so when we activate that fight or flight response, we produce those catecholamine hormones, so your adrenaline and your noradrenaline. And during early labor, we don't want too much of those. So if a woman is feeling stressed or fearful, she's going to activate that fight or flight response and those fight or flight hormones. And that can actually slow down the labor because it actually inhibits oxytocin. So it's going to slow down those contractions. And if you think about it from a survival point of view, that's, you know, if you're birthing in the wild, it's to keep us safe and our baby safe. So if the woman's not feeling safe to birth her baby, then those hormones will be activated and the labor will slow down or stop until she, you know, reactivates that relaxation response and those hormone levels reduce. So we don't want a lot of them during that early labor because that, you know, means that a woman's stressed and fearful. But when you get close to that time of birthing your baby, the levels of them gradually increase during the labor and you get quite a big surge towards that time of birth. And there's a few reasons for that. So one of them is that they help to wake up mum and baby for the birth. So they help mum be more alert for that pushing phase. But it can also be that overwhelming phase, or it's known often as the transition between 8 to 10 centimetres. And a lot of women can feel really overwhelmed because they've got this surge of adrenaline and all of a sudden they're really alert and aware of everything that's going on. You know, her senses are heightened, and that can be hard to work through. But again, if you've done the preparation and you've got that knowledge, you can be more aware of what's happening, and also your support people can as well. And the other really interesting thing about those fight or flight hormones, they're not all bad, Kath. They actually help work to protect the baby from hypoxia, so from low oxygen during the labour. And they also have a role in preparing the baby for life outside the uterus. So they help with the baby's lungs in preparation for birth. So they help the baby to absorb more of the amniotic fluid, and also to stimulate the production of surfactant. So that's a substance that helps the little air sacs in the lungs stay open and be less sticky. It's probably not a very scientific way to explain it, but I hope that makes sense. So it actually, yeah, they have some important roles for that preparation, and it also helps the baby be more alert for that first interaction with mum, because that's so crucial for that bonding time too. When they're born, they're often quite awake and alert, so they can have that feed and imprint on their parents' faces.
I just find it also fascinating. We weren't going to talk about hormones today. I know that you gave a talk a few months ago inside the membership and we really dived into hormones. So because I remember distinctly that transition where you do become a bit panicked and you think, what's happening? And if you can recognize what's happening and think, okay, that's normal, that's my fight or flight response kicking in, I'm sure that knowledge will help calm down that natural, or for me, panic that arose.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree, Kath. I love hormones.
Right, so we were talking about five things, like myths or things you didn't know about calm birth. So that was all number one. So it's not just for those wanting a natural birth. Right, what would be your number two?
I think I would say that, you know, there is that perception that it might be a little bit hippie or a little bit alternative, which there is nothing wrong with that at all. You know, I certainly have a love for alternative therapies and I think there's definitely a big place for that, but I think I would say that it's not hippie, but it's definitely holistic and it's very based on evidence and science. So a lot of the content is drawn from, you know, neuroscience, psychology, mind-body medicine, midwifery, obstetrics. So there's a whole realm of areas that it takes knowledge and information from. So it's very comprehensive in that way. And yeah, I don't think it's sort of airy-fairy or hippie at all. I think with birth, for a lot of people, there is often a spiritual element because it can be a really powerful experience for a lot of women. So that can definitely be a part of birth, and especially a really positive, empowered birth. But I would describe it more as holistic and evidence-based than a hippie.
So that was your number two myth for calm birthing. What would be your number three?
So my number three, and this goes back to my own experience too, yeah, when my husband and I did calm birth ourselves. So I think the other myth is that it's just for the birthing person and that, you know, it's not of benefit to the support person or the partner. And that's really not true. Like I said, my hubby was not sure, you know, a whole weekend talking about birth, you know, heaven for me as a midwife, but not so much to him. But I just love that throughout the whole course, there's such a focus on the role of the support person on the partner. It's so crucial and they have such a big role to play, and that can be really challenging if you don't have the knowledge and the preparation, because, you know, birth, if you've not haven't seen it before, it can be a bit confronting because it's such a primal thing and there's lots of often noises and bodily fluids. So, you know, I love that I get to work with couples and I see that transformation of partners coming and going, oh, you know, I've given up my weekend, I don't know about this. And then they get really into it and they feel really empowered and excited about it because they've got this knowledge and this understanding of the process, and then they've also got these practical tools that they can use to support the person that they love. And I think that's a good thing to mention maybe too, Kath, is we have to remember that how our partners and even our care providers, how they think and feel about birth is really important to look at, because that will really impact on how you labour and birth. Because when we talk about hormones, we want to be in that more primitive part of our brain. We don't want to be analysing and thinking. And if you're worried about your partner not knowing how to support you or feeling fearful, you're not going to be able to go into that, you know, primitive part of your brain to just not think and to just do and go with the process. So that's a really important thing that we look at too, is our beliefs and perceptions around birth and what you're thinking and feeling about it, because, yeah, that has big impacts for you as the birthing person and for whoever's supporting you as well.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Solidea, providing all of your pregnancy and recovery support needs. Solidea's maternity range supports your changing body throughout your pregnancy and the postpartum period. The proven compression and patented fabric helps to reduce back and pelvic joint pain, swelling and varicose veins, and it's safe and effective following vaginal and cesarean section deliveries. Solidea improves recovery from episiotomies, tears, hematomas, and after cesarean births. Made in Italy, Solidea's maternity range ensures pregnant women and new mums look good and feel great. Recommended by obstetricians and physiotherapists, Solidea is offering 20% off using the code FITNEST20. That's FITNEST20. So if you're in the market for some new support wear for pregnancy or postpartum, definitely go and check them out with the code FITNESS20 for 20% off. So visit www.solidea, that's solidea.com.au, and check them out for yourself. And the link is in the show notes.
So what would be the next main point, would you say?
So the next one I had, Kath, was that, you know, that it's just purely, you know, some relaxation techniques. And hopefully from, you know, what we've spoken about, you know, you can see that it's a lot more than that. So it's not just, you know, some breath techniques or, you know, visualizations.
I thought this.
Yes, and I think
I totally thought it was just all about relaxing.
Yeah.
I thought, I can relax.
Yes.
I don't need someone to tell me how to relax.
And that's the thing, that's that misconception, isn't it? And although that is a really important part of it, you know, being aware of those two main responses that we have and how to tune into that relaxation response, because when you're having a baby, it is really important that you know how to relax, because, you know, we hold tension in our pelvis and our pelvic floor. We need to be able to try and be in that relaxation system to allow labor to unfold and optimize all of those hormones. But it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to be quiet or, you know, not make noise, not move your body and, you know, do all of those sorts of things. And yeah, I think it really prepares people, you know, physically, mentally, and emotionally. It's not just the process, it's not just the tools, it's looking at the underlying beliefs, looking at how to work with other possibilities. And we also talk about communicating with care providers and how to advocate for yourself and all of that sort of thing as well. So there is a lot.
That ability to relax is really, it's a really important one. And I talk about it a lot with my members in terms of the pelvic floor side of things, because we know during pregnancy it's really important to do pelvic floor strengthening exercises, because that helps with a lot of things with prevention or management of incontinence and prolapse issues. But it's not just about strengthening, it's also really important to know how to relax your pelvic floor. And I think that aspect sometimes gets forgotten. And you can imagine if your whole body's in tension because you're in pain, you've got tension around your neck muscles, you're not breathing properly, and you've got most likely you've got tension around your pelvic floor muscles. And if your pelvic floor muscles are switched on and you're closing up the hole, so to speak, then it will be much, you know, we need that outlet to relax as much as possible during childbirth. So,
and it's tuning into that area of our bodies too, isn't it? Like you said, practicing your pelvic floor exercises to strengthen, but relaxing so that, you know, when you do get to that pushing stage, you're able to tune into that and how to release and relax those muscles as well.
Absolutely, because I think I've said it before in a previous episode, but once you're in pain or once you're in discomfort, unless you've been practicing that relaxation techniques, it's really hard to call upon it, I think. I think you need to really relax it when you're not in that situation of pain or discomfort so that you can become more aware of it and in tune with it so that when the time comes, you're able to release and relax a bit easier.
That's right. And that's the other thing that we talk about is that fear, tension, pain cycle, that when you feel stressed, you know, you create tension in the body and you activate that fight or flight response system. And that means that that blood flow is directed away from the uterus. It goes to, you know, your arms and legs and other organs so that you can run away. And then that actually causes more pain because you've got less oxygen going to the uterus and the baby. And so being aware of that is really important, and it is a practice, like with all of the Calm Birth skills that we teach. It's, yeah, that practice makes permanent is what our founder Peter Jackson says, and it's like training for your labour, practicing the breath techniques, the relaxation techniques, listening to the scripts that we do, and even doing your techniques to help prepare your body for labour and birth. It takes practice, and you have to work on these things to get the most benefit out of it.
And so was that number four? Have we got one more to go, or was that number five?
The last one I had, Kath, was the outcomes for couples, as in the birthing outcomes and their birth experiences, have been really positive. And because, you know, we've had over 35,000 couples that have done Calm Birth now, they've been able to look at the experiences of those couples and how their births played out and how they felt about their birth. So I just wanted to share, if it's okay, that they've found that couples who have done a Calm Birth course have reduced rates of medical intervention. They have reduced rates of pain relief. And again, that's, yes, like I said, it's not about saying you can't use pain relief, but when we have these other tools to work with labour and that understanding, often they're able to work with it without needing the pain relief. It also reduces the impact of perinatal anxiety and postnatal depression and enriches the birth experience as positive regardless of how they birth. And I think for me, those last two points about the impact on perinatal anxiety and postnatal depression, yeah, they're real highlights for me because, you know, I'm really passionate about women having that positive birth experience, however that looks for them. And I think if we can help women to have a really positive experience no matter how they birth their baby and then have an impact on how they feel as they become mothers and parents, then I think that's so powerful, and that's something I'm really passionate about. So I think, yeah, that's a really great one.
Oh, that's great, Loretta. So to finish off, what would be your number one tip? I'm putting you on the spot. Ooh. Now. To a pregnant lady listening today who doesn't know whether she should do calm birthing or not, what would just be your number one tip? You know, you're a mum yourself. What's something you wish you'd known all those years ago?
I would probably say that it might not be perfect, and, you know, parenting is a learned skill, and just to be kind with yourself and whatever happens with your birth, you know, remember that, you know, there's no failure in how you birth, and you do the best with the knowledge that you have and, you know, what you know at the time. So just go gently on yourself, because if you're loving your child, you're doing a beautiful job.
Love it. Well, thank you, Loretta. Could you please let everyone know how they can contact you and find you?
Yeah, so on Instagram, I'm Ballarat_midwife_Loretta, And yeah, I run my classes in Ballarat once a month, usually the last two Sundays of the month. And I have some online options as well if you want to check it out on my website at ballaratborn.com.
Great. Well, thank you for joining me today. And all those details that Loretta provided will be in the show notes at fitnessmama.com. So thank you so much for joining me today, Loretta. And it was just great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Kath. It was so lovely to chat to you.
Thanks for listening to the Fitness Mama podcast, brought to you by the Fitness Mama freebies found at www.fitnessmama.com/free. So please take a few seconds to leave a review, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and be sure to take a screenshot of this podcast, upload it to your social media, and tag me at Fitness Mama so I can give you a shout out too. Until next time, remember, an active pregnancy, confident childbirth, and strong postnatal recovery is something that you deserve. Remember our disclaimer. Materials and contents in this podcast are intended as general information only and shouldn't substitute any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. I'll see you soon.